The sacrament of the altar. Where is this written? For Lutherans, the word is what counts in sacrament. No word, no sacrament. 4th century Ambrose said, thus the speech of Christ affects this sacrament. Luther agreed, therefore this sacrament is brought about by the word of Christ on which all things are founded. And thus what was bread before the consecration, now it is the body of Christ after consecration. Because the word of Christ changes what was created. So to answer what is the sacrament of the altar, we turn to Jesus' words. The first word we look at is the to be verb is. It's the word of reality. It's the word of substance. Language would commit suicide if it could tolerate the substantive verb expressing not substance, but symbol. No Christian denomination debates or denies that Jesus says, this is my body. The issue is, does it mean this bread is Jesus' body or not? That's answered by Jesus saying this, that this is his body given and his blood shed on the cross. Was that his literal body on the cross? Yes. Then what he gives to eat and drink must be that same body and blood. Bread and wine then are not mere signs of the absent body of Christ. Luther says, the body of Christ wears the bread. Just as in the feeding of the 5,000, before Jesus blessed the loaves and fish, it wasn't food for thousands. But after the blessing, it is. So, before the blessing, that bread was not the body of Christ. After the blessing, this bread is his body. Jesus tells us the sacrament of the altar is about reality. His word also tells us it's about promise. All 4 accounts of the institution call it a testament, a will, which is a promise. Jesus specifies what he's leaving his church. What treasures can Almighty God, ruler of all, Lord of the cosmos, leave to his people? Great riches, good health, happiness? Nope. His body, and his blood. Jesus doesn't make a covenant, but a will here. He testifies what he is leaving to whom. He leaves his body and blood in a meal for his church to often eat and drink. Not carry it around in a festival. Not keep it for display in the church as the Roman Catholics do. And not for ignoring or denying his presence as Protestants do. Actually, according to Catholic Radio, 75% of Catholics don't believe Jesus' promise that communion is his body and his blood. The sacrament of the altar, though, is not just a will or a testament, but it's a new one. Luke and Paul record Jesus calling it a new testament. This is not the word for new in time, that's naos. This is new kainos, in form and quality, from the old. It's also the word for unused. This is the new thing that the Lord promised in Isaiah 43 he was going to do. The heaven and the earth that John sees in Revelation is this kind of new, unused, different from the old. But why does Jesus only say a new testament in his blood. And he doesn't make reference to his body, because the Old Testament was sealed with the blood of an animal. But animal blood can't forgive sins. And by it, under the Old Testament, sins were remembered. The New Testament says the Lord, from Isaiah to Hebrews, is that he remembers our sins no more. It's a lie that unless a human forgets a sin, he hasn't forgiven it. We cannot choose to forget. Oh, we have drugs and alcohol, but they don't erase memories. They just dull them. Greeks and Romans, they had drugs and alcohol too. But they knew forgetting belonged to divinity. Their myths had Lethe in the afterlife, the river of forgetfulness, the river of unmindfulness, the river of oblivion. The true God can actually forget sins. He remembered all sins on a Friday we call good and punished them all and for all forever and then some on his only son. Now, he doesn't remember Judas' betrayal, Peter's denial. He doesn't remember the Old Testament church leaders spitting on him, striking him with fists, mocking or teasing him. And I can assure you, in this New Testament, he doesn't remember the sins you or anyone else can't forget. Wait a minute. What about do this in remembrance of me? Well, you got me. Communion is a visible word of remembrance. Sins aren't remembered, though, but something else is. Because Jesus says we are to eat his body and drink his blood in remembrance of me. And that me is emphatic. Me and no one else, says Jesus. Me, the man who is God and Lord and Savior. Me, upon whom the angels go between heaven and earth on. Me, who call all those burdened to himself. Me, who rules wind and waves but does not put out smoldering wicks and grabs burning branches from the fire. Do this in remembrance of me, says Jesus. Now, the Reformed say Jesus hereby makes the supper a memorial meal. Just as the difference between a funeral service and a memorial is that the body is present for a funeral, but it's absent from a memorial, so for them, they gather to remember an absent Jesus, a Jesus whose body is only at the right hand of God. The Reformed understood remembrance as this inner effort on the part of man, an ascent of the individual soul to God. In reality, this special word for remembrance refers to the reappearance before Jesus' reappearance before the gathered people of God, veiled in bread and wine. The only places this Greek noun is used in the New Testament is in the words of institution and in Hebrews 10, verse 3, where it says that the Old Testament sacrifices are an annual remembrance of sins. In the Old Testament, there was a bringing back of their sins. In the New Testament, there's a bringing back of the Savior. Do this in remembrance of me is used in the sense of so that he comes back to you, or to bring me back to you. In 1582, the Lutherans said the word meant remembrance of something present. Then they referred to Exodus 20:24. The Lord says, in every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. This stresses that where there is the remembrance of the Lord's name, there he certainly also is present. Weaker but still stronger than most people's understanding of remembrance is a 26th century Lutheran dogmatics book. It says remembrance is distinguished from memory as the reliving of vanished impressions. It's not just something in your memory, but in reality. It's not much of a marriage, you know, if husband and wife don't see each other regularly. Well, that's true of Jesus and his bride, too. What is the sacrament of the altar? Let's go by Jesus' words. It is a word of promise concerning a new reality that remembers Jesus appears among his people today in this meal. But there are words of comfort here too. For Luther, comfort was in the Greek word huper. His body is given, his blood is shed for you, in your place, on your behalf. The New Testament has huper in regard to both his body and his blood. But the words for you in regard to the bread have been absent from the Mass's liturgy that was used in Luther's time. No one is really sure where those words had fallen out, but somewhere between the 4th and the 7th centuries they had. Luther put back the words for you in connection with the giving of the bread already in 1523. The for you words have been important to confessional Lutherans ever since then. Here's what a 19th century Lutheran said. By the words for you, he was reminding them that they ought to explode with joy and gladness because the ransom that would be paid for the sins of the whole world was, so to speak, being put into their mouths. Isaiah, trumpets, for us a child is born, for us a son is given. Jesus picks up that theme in John 6. He gives his flesh for huper, for the life of the world. Even unbelieving Caiaphas must testify to this truth. He says it was expedient that one man should die for huper in place on behalf of the people. For us, he today gives his body bread and blood wine. In Luther's last explicit treatment of this sacrament, he said, "It is dear to my heart concerning the precious blessed supper of my Lord Jesus Christ that he gives me his body and blood also physically in my physical mouth to eat and drink with such overwhelmingly sweet, friendly words given for all of you and shed for all of you." A word of comfort that doesn't get much attention at all is the word shed. Three out of the four accounts of the words of institution have it. In Matthew, his blood is shed for the forgiveness of sins. In Mark, the blood of the testament is poured out. And in Luke, his blood is shed for you. Now, English often translates that poured out. The idea is copiously, gush out, shed abroad. But crucifixion, you know, was meant to be a relatively bloodless procedure. The Romans did not want criminals bleeding out quickly. It was to be a slow, torturous death. Yet the Lord himself speaks of his blood poured out, shed, gushing. A 17th century Lutheran scholar linked that, this word shed, to the Passover lamb, noting that in Exodus 12, God commands the Passover lamb be slaughtered in such a way that the blood flows freely. The Hebrew word there means to slaughter in such a way that from the stretched out and extended body of the lamb, the blood would flow forth abundantly. Now, as that 18th century hymn says, this produces a whole fountain filled with blood. Now, already in 1819, some wanted to make that less graphic. The idea was to change, there's a fountain filled with blood, to from Calvary's cross a fountain flows. That effort failed. But in 1982, the Missouri Synod's version, their hymnal, has the title, "There's a Fountain Filled with Blood" in the index, but there's no blood-filled fountain in their changed hymn. Now that's better still than their 2006 hymnal, which doesn't have that hymn at all. Curious, our movies and TV get ever bloodier, but our religion, that gets more sterile. What is happening is a general Melanchthonizing of doctrine. Melanchthon wanted to emphasize the person of Christ present in communion, unlike Luther, Christ's body and blood. Sinners who know and feel their sins in real bodies, in physical ways, they need a body and blood Savior given and shed for them. And they need a tangible, visible fountain of his blood, not only to wash their sins away, but to cover them up. Pagans, they had a river of forgetfulness to forget sins. We have a fountain filled with blood in this sacrament where our God can't remember or even see our sins. What is the sacrament of the altar? No Protestant of any stripe, and now it seems even Catholics, see the body and blood of Jesus present in their time and space. Well, don't let that bother you. The same Jesus stood before the Old Testament church leaders and soldiers that stood before Peter and John. The first saw nothing but a Jewish rabbi. That's not what Peter and John saw and Peter denied. He was their God in flesh and blood. That's why Peter and Judas too were so devastated by their giving him up. But this same body and same blood given and shed for them, that was their way back to him. And yours too. That wouldn't be true if it really wasn't here. Amen. We continue now with the offering.